Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, our former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, how are things going for you this week?
Going well. I tell you, we're just winding down toward Christmas, and we just want to send a big Merry Christmas to everyone out there. I hope the season is filled with peace and goodness and kindness. Those are the blessings that we should be coming away with our faith, but we wish everyone a Merry Christmas. It's hard to believe that another year has come and gone, but I'm excited about 2024. We're going to have a special guest on the program today, so stay tuned in later segments. We've got Jennifer Jones, an exciting young state representative from over in the Deming area, won a seat that's been held by Democrats for decades. She got out and did it the old-fashioned way, knocking doors. I tell Republicans all the time, if you want to win in hard districts, you got to get out and knock the doors. We also have Lori Coleman. She's a local miner in that area that Gabe Vasquez is trying to shut down to all commercial activity, and we're going to talk to her about just how big a deal this is that Gabe Vasquez is signing on to make this monument. But we're going to talk about all those things and more in the program today, so stay tuned.
All right. There's a report out about the neediest cities in the country, and those generally tend to be in blue states. And I guess the number one city that's needy is Detroit. And you had mentioned to me before the show that that used to be under Republican control when American cars were leading the world, and it was one of the best cities in the country. Not anymore.
Yeah, 50 years ago, Detroit was one of the more populous cities in the country. In fact, I think it was the most populous. But also, it was the richest city in America. Democrats took control about that point 50 years ago, and with 50 years of rule by Democrats, now it's bankrupt. It's the neediest city in the country, according to this study by WalletHub. But even more eye-catching is that Las Cruces finished 24th in that list. Nationwide study in Las Cruces is 24th. Again, New Mexico leading in things that are bad and trailing in things that are good. But Albuquerque, just a couple of points behind at 53rd in the nation. And so the Democrat control of New Mexico is getting the same result that Democrat control of Detroit has given the citizens of that city. It's amazing, but people wonder, why is that? I will tell you a couple of the news stories that are out this week. Tell us why. One of the big reasons is that Democrats want to control land and put it out of private use into public use. Now, I tell people that that's a big deal. For instance, there's Gabe Vasquez, the congressman from the 2nd District, is suggesting that we need a monument that extends from the Floridas there outside of Deming all the way up north across a couple of mountain ranges. We've got Cook's Peak and another range that is north of Deming, but then it extends all the way down near Columbus, 245,000 acres that Gabe Vasquez wants to put out of private use. Now, I tell people that I grew up on a small five-acre farm. On that five-acre farm, Dad was able to feed six kids, Mom and Dad, and make a living and send us all to college, all from raising pigs and doing things, making that 5 acres useful. Well, that plays out. You can imagine the 5 acres, if it were in the hands of a government, would be sitting idle, and it would probably be sitting out behind a building somewhere, valuable land that could support a family, and it will not when it's under government control. Now extend that to the 245,000 acres that Gabe Vasquez wants to put out of reach of private hands. You take away cows off of that land, that's ranch land. When the cows go, then the tax base decreases because each cow, each profit center is taxed by the state of New Mexico. So you have your schools with less resources to work with because local taxes go for local schools. So this process of pulling lands out of private hands, out of productive use, and putting it in the hands of the government, you have really just unaware people who support this idea saying, oh, it's going to bring tourism. Take a look at how much tourism came to the Oregon Peaks National Monument that was instituted by Obama during his term, and the tourism hasn't made a bit of difference in the city of Las Cruces and in the surrounding area. It's not going to make a bit of difference in Deming. In fact, Deming leads New Mexico in unemployment, and so they're going to be worse off because you're removing 245,000 acres out of beneficial use and sticking it in the government's hands, and it'll just go to waste. Right along with that, then we have the Chaco Canyon. The New Mexico Land Commissioner, Stephanie Garcia Richard, and we've talked about this on the program, they're gradually increasing the amount of time and the amount of acres that are pulled out of productive use in Chaco Canyon. Now, the administration, both in the state and the Biden administration, both Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham and the Biden administration are claiming that they talked to the Native Americans. Maybe they did talk to them, but they didn't talk to the people who live there. The Navajos are the ones who live in and around and have ownership of the land at Chaco Canyon. And what you want to do is create more unemployment on the Navajo reservation, because the oil leases that are now being prohibited were feeding families. The revenue from those oil leases went to the Latis, who owned the rights to that oil production. And now you're going to send them home to live off of government subsistence welfare instead of taking the money from their leases, which they're selling to the oil companies. And so they don't have to take money from the government. And so the Biden administration and Michelle Lujan Grisham did not listen to the Navajos who live in the land. Maybe they listened to other Indian tribes that were just close by. But again, these are the ways that Democrats kill economies one bit at a time. And it's just no surprise that the neediest city in America is Detroit, and that New Mexico has got two of the most needy cities out of 300 something million people in the United States. And we've only got a million and a half to two. And we come up with two of the neediest cities because Democrat policies fail. If you're going to change New Mexico, you're going to have to vote Republican and put people into office who know how to create economies and know how to create opportunity and jobs.
I'll have an interview with a state representative from Luna County and a local businesswoman to discuss this national monument next on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. Earlier in the program, Steve Pierce mentioned a couple interviews we did about a federal land grab down in Luna County. Here are those interviews. With me on the telephone is our state representative from House District 32, Jennifer Jones. And Jennifer, we're talking about this land grab down in Luna County. Tell us what's going on.
Okay, thank you for having me. Yes, there's been a frenzy of information about this. And last week, what happened was there was a press conference that was held up in the Florida Mountains. This is the southernmost district. Luna County is the proposed area for the monument. Southernmost district in New Mexico, right on the Mexican border. And so all of our mountain ranges here, there are four mountain ranges, a total of 245,000 acres in our county, have been proposed in this press conference as a national monument. And they say it's just the beginning. This proposal is brand new, but there was a huge media push, and the media event itself, the press conference, was a private event. There were emails sent out to a few selected people, many of whom do not live in the district, and it was RSVP only, but it was found out mistakenly by some people who spread that news around. And so there were quite a few people that the supporters of this monument didn't intend to be there. The problem with that is the deceptiveness of going behind the backs of the stakeholders. There was no conversation before this happened with the community members. There were no public meetings. Even the local officials, state elected officials, were not invited, were not informed, were not part of the conversation. There had been some vague mentions of economic benefit of tourism, and tourism does bring in quite a few dollars here in our county. We have a lot of people who already come to our mountains to hunt, for hiking. We have a visitor center. We have a very unique state park here. It's called Rockhound State Park, and people from all over the country come here to actually take back rocks with them to their homes, because I think it's the only state park, the only park maybe in the whole United States that allows you to take something with you when you come. We have an abundance of beautiful semi-precious stones and other beautiful rocks that people find valuable. And so we already have a tourist draw here to our county. But there was no conversation around this national monument, though. And I think that's what's got people really upset. They believe there's some ulterior motive, an alternate agenda, when there's deceptiveness and when there's secrecy. And so that's kind of where we stand right now. There's just a lot of opposition. A few folks are reaching out to the paper with letters to the editor. Even they are not fully informed. They're saying things that they've heard from these supporters of the monument who don't live here. They're saying the things that they've heard, and I understand that. But some of those things are just not true. So that's where we are. The national monument status would absolutely limit any kind of extraction industry. So that's a problem with a lot of people here, too, because extraction industries, mining, as in our neighbors to the north, Silver City, Silver City would not exist if not for mining. And yes, they have a huge open pit copper mine. Nothing like that has ever been discussed down here in Luna County. And so I think people are afraid. They don't want a big open mine like that, but that's not something that would ever happen here. But mining, any kind of extraction, any kind of drilling like that would be prohibited. And that could be a problem because that does bring real economic growth to our area, not just people who come and hike for the day and move on to Las Cruces to another hiking destination.
For folks who are just finding out about this on the radio today, listening to our program, is there something they can do if they want to help you to keep this from happening? What should they do?
They can definitely contact me. My legislative email is Jennifer, J-E-N-I-F-E-R dot Jones at nmlegis.gov. And on the NM Legis website is also my phone number. They could feel free to contact me or Senator Crystal Diamond Brantley. She also is senator over this district. And let us know how you feel about it. I've had so many calls and so many people reaching out. No one yet has reached out to me in favor of this, although I did meet with a couple of folks yesterday at the county commissioners meeting. But they're very few. They have an environmentalist support, which is not a big group of folks here, although I'm always willing to listen to my constituents. I want to hear their side. My approach with all of this has been to seek out what is the truth. And that has been the problem with the way this was rolled out. The media push behind this has been deceptive. Right now, if you look up the Members Peaks National Monument, you will see this pretty picture of Luna County. All the people in Luna County supposedly want this monument. We didn't even know about it. Elected officials didn't know about it. Only one elected official did, and he acted in concert with others who are outside the district to push this environmentalist-type movement. The other thing to mention is that this movement to create more and more national monuments was started on day one of the Biden administration when President Biden signed more executive orders than any president in the history of the United States. And he's wanting federal control of up to 50% of the land here in the United States. And that's what this is part of. And so it's just another layer of federal control, which gives them more say about what happens to the land and leads to less local control.
All right. Well, I'm talking with our state representative from District 32, Jennifer Jones. Thank you for the update.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
I've got Lori Coleman on the telephone with me. She lives down in Luna County, and she will be heavily affected by what we're calling this federal land grab.
Oh, in Luna County, yes, Derek. They're calling it the proposed Members Peaks National Monument, which we don't have a lot of mountains in Luna County, but the four that we have, we do not want them to become a national monument, which they include Cook's Range, Goodsight Mountains, the Florida Mountains, and Tres Hermanas Mountains.
Please tell our listeners why you oppose this national monument.
I don't want it because, first of all, a lot of our land is already managed by the BLM, and that's who would manage the Members Peaks National Monument is the BLM. And they're doing such a wonderful job with the last land grab that they had over at the Oregon Mountains National Monument. That was turned into a monument by President Obama back in 2014. In 2019, they finally got one individual in the Las Cruces BLM office to start the assessment, here it is in 2023, and they still don't have the assessment done or a plan or funding, and it's been almost 10 years. So they hadn't figured out how to manage that monument. We don't need them coming over to Luna County to manage our monument.
Well, how does it affect you? I know this is a concern for a lot of people. They're saying that it'll bring people to your area as tourists to come see the monument. Does that outweigh the loss, especially in your business, because you, we should explain to people that you have a business where you go up and bring rocks down and sell them.
Yes, I do. So I am a small miner on BLM land. I disturb less than an acre a year, and I have a rock shop. And I bring those rocks back, and I process them, and I sell them in my rock shop. Well, in a national monument, you can't mine. And I know that there's supposedly an economic report out there that Senator Kerry Hamblin, U.S. Congress Rep Gabe Vasquez, County Commissioner Ray Trejo, and Friends of the Florida's Wes Light all had done by a company out of Colorado, but they're not sharing that report publicly. But they're saying that the Oregon Mountains brought in 613,000 people with a $234 million economic impact. Well, let me tell you what that comes out to. That is 1,600 people a day in the Oregon Mountains Visitor Center. And when I went by there on Wednesday, they had three people there that day. Three. So somebody's math is not adding up. White Sands, which is a national monument, only has 782,000 people a year with an economic impact of $51 million. The only other monument in North America, which is the most visited, is the Washington, Lincoln, and White House monuments. They get 800,000 people through with a $679 million impact. Now, you tell me, are we really going to get that kind of people come into Luna County in July when it's 112 and the rattlesnakes are out to go up on the mountain hiking?
Do you really want that many? I mean, do you have the infrastructure if it was truly that many?
We do not have the infrastructure, and the grazers, the ranchers, the farmers, and me, a small miner, we're the ones that have to deal with all the garbage the way it is now. I picked up in a two-week period in March when I was up there mining 13 bags of garbage, beer bottles, cans. We already have four visitor centers in Luna County, City of Rocks, the Chamber, Rockhound State Park, and Pancho Villa Park, and we're getting 80,000 visitors through those. We don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the hotels. We don't have it. But right now, we've got on change.org, we've got a petition out, and we've got about 500 signatures so far. I tried to get through to Vasquez, and he would not see me. So he put me off on a staff member, hadn't heard from them either. I've been really fortunate to be able to team up with Paul at the Rio Grande Foundation.
Yeah, Paul Gessing, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And Gabriella, she came to the luncheon in Albuquerque last week, and she's probably the smartest woman I have ever heard speak, Gabriella Hoffman. She's got a lot of information out there about this 30-30 going on and these big monument land grabs, and she's been a wonderful resource.
I appreciate you letting our listeners know and making them aware.
I really appreciate it, Derek.
I'll be back to continue my conversation with Steve Pierce, the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, right after this on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico. I'm back with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pearson. Steve, give us an update on the governor's violation of our Second Amendment rights.
You know that we brought suit against the governor. She had an interview where she is really praising herself, saying that her public health order was actually doing great work and that it was causing a reduction in crime. Well, you can believe that if you want to, but I tell you, there was a poll that was run just a week or two ago that says that liberal Americans are the ones driving increase in gun sales now. So when your party is telling you that their policies are working, the actual Democrats themselves who are supposed to be supporting these Democrat policies are out voting with their feet and buying firearms at an amazing clip. The Democrat ownership of weapons is up now from 33% to 45% in just 5 years. And the people writing the article declare that it's a stunning increase. This report is actually a Newsweek article that came out just a week or two ago. So I draw your attention to it if you don't take my word for it. But Democrats are voting with their buying habits and buying weapons. That's because they don't feel safe. They feel that crime is out of control. Of course, there are writers in the article that are trying to spin it and say, well, Democrats are now just afraid of Republicans. They're afraid that something's going to happen and Republicans are going to do this or that. The truth is they're afraid of crime in their own homes. And so that's what's happening. But the governor keeps bragging on her public health order. She claims in one statement that 13 guns from a repeat violent offender were recovered. Number one, why is the repeat violent offender out on the streets? It's because of her policies. She let violent offenders out. And the Democrat judges are letting violent offenders out of prison. And the fact that he's got 13 guns lies at her doorstep. So I doubt that that actually made anybody safer. I doubt that he was concealed carrying in a park or on a playground. I suspect that he was not there. And so maybe her health order didn't have a thing to do with him being arrested. But she also talks about 87 juveniles were arrested. Again, my question is, if her public health order is the cause of these arrests, that means that these kids were concealed carrying out on playgrounds and in parks. I don't think that's the case. Governor, show us the actual breakdown of where these kids were actually arrested at. Let us check your claims that your public health order is working. And even the Albuquerque Police Association chief said that they didn't need a public health order to increase the police. That's what she's done. That's the reason we're getting these arrests, because we've got more police on the streets, because she's afraid that Democrats are going to get unelected over this crime issue. Her claims don't make sense. And again, I lived in the oil and gas fields my whole life. I could see the night flares burning from that natural gas out there being flared. The gas lights around her are flaring even brighter than they did in my home county. This is phenomenal when she says that 2,490 arrests were made because of her public health order. You'd have to have the police standing at every park in Albuquerque and across the state to get that many arrests if her public health order was the reason that these arrests are being made. And so it's just laughable, really. You have to poke fun at it because you wouldn't want to think that she seriously is making these assertions. But that's definitely what she's doing through a Twitter account. And then KOET had our quote. You may want to play that clip.
The governor today saying her public health order on gun violence is working.
Here's Faith Ebuanu now on the impact the governor claims the order is having.
Let me just state unequivocally. The public health order has been in effect 3 months, and it's working.
The governor touting progress, but tell us there's a lot more work to do.
Any violence in our communities is not acceptable. You expect to see assault weapons, a ban on my call.
Bad actors now at the center of the state's public health order.
We have an incredible number of additional arrests and an incredible number of felonies in that arrest group. And in those arrests, that means people are serving already pending trial.
The governor providing this update on Monday to our question last month when asked about progress made after declaring gun violence a public health emergency in September.
We're going to keep this public health order in place until we see the same sort of dramatic end results that we're seeing in this quarter, where that becomes the norm.
Republican Party of New Mexico Chairman Steve Pierce disagreeing with the governor's order, telling us in a statement, the governor's unconstitutional public health order is a disgrace. How many of the new arrests are concealed carry citizens, and how many are recurring violent criminals who will be released back on the streets by her administration? The governor declaring and renewing her public health order is merely to distract from her lack of leadership in addressing crime. Faith Ebuanu, KOAT, Action 7 News.
The governor says she plans to address public safety at the upcoming legislative session. That session starts January 16th and ends on the 15th of February.
We've been very transparent in disagreeing that taking away constitutional rights of law-abiding citizens is not going to improve crime at all. If you want crime to improve, you're going to have to follow the Republican idea of keep criminals in jail. I know that sounds radical to progressive Democrat leaders, but your everyday Democrats know that it's the case that if you want to cut down crime, start punishing the criminals. So we're going to continue the fight. We're going to continue to talk to New Mexicans about common sense reforms that Republicans will bring, but they're going to have to vote for Republicans and quit voting for the Democrats. We see that playing out across the country. The younger voters are abandoning Biden's policies in great numbers. And so the minority voters who would vote Republican today are 33% higher than when the Biden-Trump election were held. 33% among minority voters is a monumental shift, and it's because of things like the gun control issue, abortion up to and including the day of birth, sad state of the economy, the inflation that the Biden policies have created around the world. And people are simply saying that Democrat policies don't work, and they're looking for Republicans to change the way the country is headed.
Thank you, Steve. And if you've been listening to the program and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that several ways. One is by going to the website. It's newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and an X account. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you may call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. Thanks to the radio stations around the state for playing Inside New Mexico. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.